Happy Monday, March.
What is it? Sixth.
Speaking of the sixth, I just got back from Toronto. Thank you to everyone who came to the shows. That was it was awesome. You know, we only did three shows, which is too bad because I think last time I was there, or at least, you know, pre-pandemic, we used to do, you know, five shows in a week. But that's fine. I'll take it. It's worth it because it's such a great comedy town. There's so many people. And even though it was fucking snowpocalypse on Friday night, people still came out. I was really impressed by that because you never know. Like, you never know. The enemies of comedy can just literally be the weather. Like, stuff out, you know, in Calgary in the summer, you know that if it's above 20 degrees, it might even be less than that. If it's sunny out and it's above 18 degrees, less people are coming. Less people, because that's Canada. Because we get 4 weeks of sun every year. And so what? You're going to go sit inside of a basement and watch comedy? Fine. You know, I'm not even mad at you for not doing it. But Toronto set the bar high because Friday night, and this is why I never even think about checking the forecast before I go somewhere. I will check just because I got to figure out what I'm going to bring for running. You know, am I bringing my pants? Am I bringing my tassels? Am I bringing gloves? Whatever. And I swear to God, when I looked ahead, I thought it looked nice. I recall it saying like 4 or 5 degrees. It's going to be nice outside. And then, of course, my phone is blowing up on the way there with like half my family telling me I'm never going to come home. And you could see it. It was kind of weird. Like when I landed, everything was nice. And then, I don't know, an hour and a half before the show, I just start hearing boom, boom, which I always just assume is someone getting murdered in the room next to me, because that's where you would do it. People that murder, you know, they're people in their own house. How foolish. How foolish do you have to be to murder someone in your own house, especially if it's your, like, the person that lives with you? Pick a new location. It's going to be hard to set it up. I mean, if it's your, I don't know if I want to go down this rabbit hole. I was going to say, like, if it's your wife, it's a little easier because you just say, hey, I booked us a room for the night at this nice hotel. If it's just your, like, buddy, like, if you just wanted to kill your roommate, I think probably the better way to do it is poison, probably, or even like a fire. Ah, fire is good. Fire is good because there's two things that get completely rid of people: fire and pigs. There's a fun fact for you. The mob used to feed people to pigs because they eat your whole shit, dude. They eat everything except, I thought it was the teeth. And then they find the teeth and they send it to a dentist, which is kind of weird. It's weird that a dentist, part of your job could be identifying a murder victim. That's got to be such a small, 99% of your job is cleaning teeth. Well, actually, no. 99% of the oral hygienist job is cleaning the teeth. Then the dentist comes in for 4 seconds and like taps your tooth with a fucking toothpick and makes $4,000. But imagine doing that for 20 years and then all of a sudden you got to identify one of your favorite patients just murdered, fed to pigs inside of a hotel room next to me in Toronto. So anyway, I hear these bangs going off, and then I realize that it's just the snow reaching a critical mass and then falling down and just smacking the hotel, just smacking it. It's weird snow. I tried to do a joke about this on the Saturday show, and it didn't really go over because I think I realized, I'm like, oh yeah, everyone's just used to the snow. I'm trying to make fun, and they have no point of reference because that's just the snow to them. They don't realize what I'm used to is this dry-ass Alberta snow, baby. We got that dry-ass snow. Our snow is so dry, you could snort it. Sometimes you don't know when you see a ball, sometimes you don't know if that's a snowball or an 8-ball. Which, by the way, I've always thought, I don't know what a fucking 8-ball is. I've always thought when someone says an 8-ball of Coke, I actually visualize an 8-ball, like an actual round ball of Coke. Is that it? Is that actually how it comes? Is that the packaging? Is it packaged like a bath bomb? A little bath bomb of Coke. That would be amazing. If there was a drug, I was about to say, if there's a drug that was bath related, and then I realized, hey, there already is, and it makes you eat people's face, bath salts. So there you go. Mystery solved. But if there, yeah, if there was a drug you could just sort of sprinkle in the bath and then have a bath while absorbing a drug, oh my God. Sign me up. As long as it's non-addictive, I'll do it once. It just seems relaxing, you know? But not, I guess, Coke wouldn't be. I don't know. But the snow was fucking crazy. That's all I'm trying to say. It's just crazy. It's so thick. And it blew in. Fortunately, the storm only lasted like, I don't know, 8 hours or whatever over the night. The next day it was fine. But the next day I was walking around and the buildings are just dripping wet. And again, I tried to mention this and it seemed like no one even knew what I was talking about. Or everyone's like, yeah, that's normal. Yeah, Todd, after it snows, buildings drip. Don't you know how buildings work? And I'm like, I've never seen it before. I was walking around, and if you're in the wrong spot on the sidewalk, it's just water pouring off of a BMO. Water coming off of some financial institution right on your head. But it is fresh, I think. So it could be worse, right? Could be that water that sits inside of, you know, those things that are in like a building that have the, when there's smoke, what the hell is that thing called? Sprinkler. Why could I not think? Hey, what's the thing that, that sprays water? You know, what's that thing that sprinkles water everywhere when you need it? I don't know. Sprinkler. I don't know if you guys have ever smelt the water in there. It's disgusting. And I didn't do it on purpose. I don't go around like sniffing sprinklers. I like to make that really clear. I've never sniffed a sprinkler in my life, and I won't. I won't, unless it's to save someone, but I won't do it. But I remember in junior high, some kid threw a football in the hallway. It clipped the sprinkler. Sprinkler completely busted, and all the water that was sitting in there for millenniums came out, and it was absolutely disgusting. It reeks. And then I talked to a plumber when I was in Moncton, and he said, yeah, that water is not, I don't know, he called it brown water. He said it's not, or no, gray water. So it's not sewage water, but it's not clean. It's kind of like someone took a piss in the ceiling. This is actually a little known fact. What they do when they make a school is the guys that are building it, they just piss into the roof. And then that becomes the water that's in the sprinkler system. Because, and the reason is because pee has ammonia in it, I think. And that's good for fires. And by good for fire, I mean bad for fire. It's good for putting out a fire. You think water's good on fires? Wait till you see pee, dude. So, I don't even know why I'm talking about this. I can't remember. But the snow was just crazy, and people still trudged through. And they came to the show, which was awesome. People come. Even last time I was there like during game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals for the Leafs. And I think it was like the Leafs and Tampa or something. And again, I thought no one was going to come. And I've mentioned this, but I've never seen a more depressed city. I knew when I came out of that show that they lost. Because you could see dudes crying. I've talked about this already, but yeah, it was a really, it was a fun time. And I like Toronto. Here's what I'll say that I like about Toronto is that the downtown is a thing. Like downtown, shit's happening. That's what I like. Because it seems, you know, for instance, downtown Calgary is just corporate. It's just corporate. So basically, people are there during the day, and then at like 3:57, it's done. Everyone leaves. Everyone gets out. And then nothing's going on. Nothing. I don't even know if there's restaurants open still. But that's it. That's the whole downtown. Whereas Toronto, you come out and it's like, things are moving, baby. You got a fucking Hooters, which is amazing. Shout out. Niagara and Toronto. I've been back to back. Seen the only two Hooters that are actually in... I actually looked it up. It's Niagara has one. Toronto has two. And Winnipeg has the Hooters. So that's it. Those are the only ones. So I'm actually proud that I have seen half the Hooters in this entire country in a span of 2 weeks. But no, I did not go in. No, I did not go in. And I'm not above it. But I do feel, I think even for me, who's used to eating stuff, eating alone, I can do things alone. It's just a little bit too much of a perv factor. Because you know why you're in there. You know why you're in. There's a lot of places with chicken wings. There's a lot of places with chicken. You know why you're at Hooters. And you better be with at least one other. Oh, God. So anyway, yeah, it was a really fun weekend. And I will say this, though. The airport, goddamn disaster. And I was about to go off on WestJet on this podcast. But then I thought back and I realized that I think it was the airport. Listen, I don't know what the fuck was going on. Here's what happened. I had to come home. I had a flight booked for 10 a.m. I check in early, right? I get my boarding pass onto my Apple Wallet. And that just makes you feel, here's a segment called Todd's Travel Tips. Now, the first one is very obvious. Never check a bag unless you're bringing a sword or, you know, like a five iron. Or one of those lemon poles that you put in the backyard in the summer that repels mosquitoes. Those three items are too large for overhead. So if you have one of those three items, or even a Dyson vacuum cleaner, those are the four items that I understand you got to check a bag. Fine. Right? You're going to a sword fight. You got to vacuum up after. And there's going to be mosquitoes. You got three long poles. They got to go somewhere. They go underneath. Fine. But if you don't need... Other than that, dude, just put your stuff in a duffel bag. And this is easier for guys because we don't need anything. You know what I mean? Girls, I don't even know if it's feasible. Because you guys got to bring your fucking ankle exfoliator. You got to bring your left ear cream. You got to bring your right ear cream. You got to bring the shampoo for the front of your head and the conditioner for underneath your chin. You got to bring, you know, a spare battery. Girls love that. They love to have a spare battery charging thing for their phone. And then just a bunch of other, like, liquids, like honey. Girls love to bring honey with them, and mayonnaise, all these type of things. So, but if you don't need those things, you just check a bag. Or you don't check a bag, sorry. You just do carry on. Everyone knows that, though. That's not a secret tip. But if it is a secret to you, then I feel bad. Because I feel like everyone's figured that out at this point. But here's another one. If you put your boarding pass on your Apple Wallet, you know, you don't be one of these noobs who prints off their boarding pass still. What is this? 187 whatever they invented airplanes? What is this? 1817? Boom. Roasted. You know, these noobs. These noobs, this is such a weird thing to get mad about, but fine. These noobs that bring, you know, a passport and a printed off boarding pass to fly from fucking Vancouver to Abbotsford. It's like, relax. You don't need to risk your passport getting lost on a flight to Grand Prairie from Regina. Why would you even risk that? Just bring your goddamn Costco card. You think they give a shit? It's also kind of weird. I got to be honest. They used to be able to fly. Back in the day, you could smoke on an airplane, which is insane. That's insane how different that was. You could literally smoke on air. I don't even think you needed ID. I don't even know if they did security at the onset of airplanes. That's kind of, right? I bet they didn't even do security back in the day. I bet you just show up, you know, you bring your stuff on, There's because it's just one. It's one bad apple. One bad apple, right? One fucking guy puts a tube of 200 milliliter toothpaste up his ass trying to get onto a flight, and now none of us can bring liquids. Which, by the way, I always tell them no. And it's a lie. Yes, I do have toothpaste in there. Sometimes I even have a little thing of mouthwash. And sometimes I have, what else did I bring? Oh, I brought this like cream that goes under your eye. Right? And they go, any liquid or gels? I just say no, because they don't give a shit. Unless you're being egregious with it, they don't care. And I'm not putting it in that fancy little bag so you can see it. I'm not doing it. So, you just, yeah, again, why was I talking about this? I have no memory today. I have no short-term memory at all. I'm living like a butterfly. I'm living 8 seconds at a time out here because I'm just in the moment. But, right, so my flight is originally 10 a.m. I'm checked in. And that, like I said, when you have the boarding pass on your phone and you're not checking a bag, you feel like airport Jesus. You feel like an airport Jesus because you look around. Everyone is stressed. There's families that are fist fighting. There's always one. Whenever you see a family at the airport, it's always, that's where people's personalities come out. And there's always one parent who's just losing their shit. Sometimes it's the mom. Most times, I feel like it's the dad. And they are just having a goddamn meltdown. And guess what? You don't care. Because you're not managing anyone. You're just managing yourself. And you are just airport Jesus. You just glide over to security. You know, waiting at the kiosk. No talking to the airline, you glide to security. And then you glide through security. And then you get to your gate and you get right on. It's just airport Jesus. That's how you feel. And so I'm checked in and then I wake up and I look at my phone and I have like 9 emails. And I got one at 4 a.m. that says your flight's been changed. And this is where it gets kind of suspicious because it says your flight was changed. Departure time from 10 a.m. to 10:30. Okay. And the excuse was staff shortage. Okay. Fine. Interesting. Someone called in sick. Somebody pulled their hamstring. I don't know. Whatever. That's fine. It's only half an hour delay. Then there's an email from that like an hour later at 5 a.m. or whatever that says it's actually delayed until 3 p.m. And this is due to scheduled maintenance. And I'm like, what are the odds that somebody out there got a hangnail, and now they can't show up for the flight. And then also, they have maintenance. What, did you forget? Scheduled maintenance? Hey, if it's scheduled, why is it delaying the flight? Wasn't it scheduled? How is it coming up now? Interesting, isn't it? Very. So, I feel like these airlines, and I'm not, you know, I'm not throwing shade here. I get it. You got to do what you got to do. But I feel like I don't think they tell us the real reason that a flight is delayed. I think that they finesse as little information as they can so they can legally check the box of informing you. And then they just sort of pick whatever reason fits the best. So anyway, the thing is delayed by 5 hours and I'm going, oh fuck. Right. Because when you fly out west, anyway, I just want to get home. On Sundays after shows, I just want to get home. And I'm like, oh, okay. I can wait here 5 hours and then go to the airport, which wouldn't have been the worst. Fine. I'll work out. I'll go to a restaurant. I'll finally go to Hooters and just sit by myself. I won't even order anything. I'll go to Hooters and order a glass of water. And then I just stare until they have the audacity to creep me out. And I go, or try to kick me out. And I go, why? And they go, you're being creepy. And I go, this whole business is creepy. This whole business model is just tits and chicken, and you're judging me. Your clientele, who are the guys you're trying to get in here, huh? You got orange tits and chicken. What? You don't point. They always say, you know what I mean? When there's one, they always say when you point your finger, there's two tits pointing back. I just snorted. Nice. So anyway, it's late by 5 hours, so I call WestJet. I can't get through. And I just go, whatever, let's risk it because, and by risk it, I say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to, there was one earlier flight that I saw that was at 9 a.m. And I say, I'm just going to hop in the taxi. I'm going to, taxi. What is this, 1817? Taxi with my passport and my laminated boarding pass? hop in an Uber like a real millennial, and I'm just going to go to the airport because I can't. If I wait to get through to WestJet, I'm not going to be able to make the 9 a.m. It's my only other option to get home at a reasonable time. The other ones were like leaving at 7 p.m. and they fucking have a layover in Alaska. And then they drive, to Thailand, and then they were going to go back to Calgary. I'm not messing with it. It was the only direct. So I go, I got to get on this 9 a.m. So I just order an Uber. I pack everything in my hotel room in like 4 minutes, which gives me beyond anxiety because I am, for someone who travels a lot, I'm not good at packing or repacking. I always feel like I forgot something when I'm leaving, which I do. I always forget at least one thing. And then I always feel like I'm leaving behind all of everything valuable to me. I feel like I'm leaving behind when I leave a hotel room. I do checks. I check things I've never used. I open the Bible in the nightstand and I check every page just in case I happen to put money in there. And I've never even opened the Bible. And it's not because I'm not religious, but it's because I don't think a Holiday Inn Express is the right place to meet Jesus. Like, if I'm going to do it, do they still do that shit where they put a Bible in the hotel room? They used to do that, remember? I wonder if they still do that. Because isn't that a bit discriminatory? What if you have a different fucking religion? Dearest Holiday Inn Express, dearest Econo Lodge, I was very offended by the fact that you assumed that I believe in Jesus. I believe in something different. I don't know. So I check everything. I get out of there and hop in the Uber. And as luck would have it, I finally get through to WestJet on, 5 minutes from the airport. I get the last seat. Praise Jesus in this moment. I get the last seat available on the 9 a.m. flight. And then that was delayed by another 3 hours. So anyway, I was really pissed. Everything was delayed. But I'm just grateful to get home because I looked back when we landed in Calgary. I looked back at the 10 a.m. flight that I was on. And it actually got canceled. So I don't know. Maybe the airplane said something it shouldn't. So stupid. So fucking stupid. That airplane got canceled. So, I'm glad. I was just happy to get home. It was late. It was three hours after but whatever. You just get back and that's nice. Who knows? If I hadn't gone on that flight, I might not even be, who knows where I'd be right now? I might be living in an airport like that Tom Hanks movie, which I would fucking love. I would live in an airport for a year. If it was like a big one, like Toronto, I'll live there. Airport's got everything you need. You got restaurants, right? You got fucking those pillows that go around the back of your neck. Isn't it interesting? For some reason, we only use those on airplanes. Isn't that kind of interesting? We don't use them anywhere else. Those, you know what I'm talking about. Those pillows that hug the back of your neck. Only airplanes. What about trains? What about Camelback? What about in your car? I guess if you wear that at home, would people think you're just a lazy fuck? Like, if you wear it on an airplane, people go, that is just someone being comfortable. That's fine. But if you put on one of those neck pillows, if you put one of those on at work, you'd be fired. You're no longer the manager of Arby's. Because you put a goddamn neck pillow on. It's just really, I just think it's discriminatory. So, everything is like super delayed, whatever. It's a gong show. I think it's because they were catching up on the flights that were all canceled due to the giant snowstorm. But I will say this. During my stay at the terminal, the gate, one of my dreams came true. And this is a moment that I have fantasized about. I've thought about this moment in my head and I never wanted to force it. I never knew when it would happen. And like I said, I never looked for it to happen, but I just knew, I think I felt deep down that it would, if I just kept the faith, that it would happen. And it did. And that's the fun part about life. It's like sometimes you just gotta, you just keep going and then your dreams come true. And here's what happened. Here's what happened. I'm at the gate and I'm hungry. I'm starving. And the only thing, because we are in the shit terminal or the shit, like, I don't even know what it is, wing of the airport. You know you're in the shit wing when it's, you know, flare. It's flare, and then I don't even know what the other, like, airline was. When you see the ones that are basically Greyhound buses that they glued wings to and people are paying for, like, seatbelts when they get on, that's how you know. When you're mixed in with those ones, that's how you know you're in the shit part of it. So here's a life hack, by the way, just as one more travel tip. If you do fly to Toronto in and out, do Air Canada, because I think they are the principal airline there. They get priority. If only one guy shows up to the airport to work that day, they're going to use him for the Air Canada flights. And he's going to pull them out while you sit there on your WestJet flight for 2 hours on the tarmac, which we did, waiting for one of the guys in those things that pushes the plane out to just push us out. Isn't that amazing? We had to wait just to get pushed out. Hey, why can't planes go backwards? Someone Google that and send me a message. Okay? It's just like bears can't run down hills. Airplanes can't go backwards. Two mysteries of the universe. So I'm in the terminal. Okay. There's nothing. And I'm starving. There's one restaurant, and the restaurant just happens to have one of those, like, takeout sort of a thing. How do I explain this? It is a full bar restaurant, whatever. Picture like a Chili's. Every airport has a Chili's for some reason. And then as a part of the restaurant, they have just a small kiosk where you can get, you know, all the airport bullshit. It's like sandwiches, a bottle of water, some salad that someone made 4.5 years ago. And, you know, it's all super expensive, of course. You know, sandwiches are like $45 a piece, whatever, right? So we're waiting in line, and I'm third in line. There's a guy at the front, two girls in front of me, then me, and then there's like a couple people behind me. The guy in the front is getting checked out or getting rung up, whatever, paying for his stuff. Boom. He pays for whatever he got and he's out. Then the lady who was running the till just leaves. Just leaves. Us, all of us hanging. Just bounces. Completely ghosts the till. And this is where I realized how honest most people are, because we all just stood there. We could have run away. We could have left. We stood there because we're good people. And she leaves, and she starts working in the restaurant. And I realize, okay, she's got multiple jobs going on, so that's fine. She has to not just serve this kiosk as the cashier, but she also is serving food. She's running food out from the kitchen to tables. And we can see it when she goes back into the restaurant. And I go, that's fine. They're probably short-staffed. She's got to do a lot. She's filling in the gaps. And I have a feeling someone didn't show up for work. And it's probably the same guy who was supposed to be on the tarmac towing out airplanes. And that's why everyone's stuck here, because he was supposed to be in Chili's delivering sweet potato fries to people and then towing out planes. And he's not doing either. So now she's stuck doing his job. That's the vibe that I got, which is okay. I understand. I've worked in the service industry for a little bit. So there's no one's being a diva. No one should. It's totally understandable. She's doing her best. But it keeps going on and on and on. And we're there for like 15 minutes. And what got me was she's walking right by the kiosk. She can see us all waiting in line. The line is getting longer. And she just doesn't even look at us. And that's where I was getting a little annoyed. Because I'm like, you can at least look over. We all recognize you're busy. But you can say like, hey, I'm going to be there in a minute. Or sorry, I'm swamped. I'm trying. Just something. Or even look at us. No. Ghosted us. Ghosted us like a step-parent. Like, we didn't exist. And then, so we all start getting a little agitated, right? Because we're there, we're waiting. It's 15 minutes. She hasn't come over. Doesn't look like she's going to even attempt to come over. And this is expensive stuff, too. It's annoying how much it is, and we just want to, you know, we're trying to give you money. So, finally, the guy behind me goes, is she coming back, or what's going on? Because we all were there in silence. And then the girls in front of me said, we don't know. She rang up the guy in front of us. She could have at least done a couple. And there was something about that exchange. It gave me the confidence. I realized this is my moment. This is the thing I've always wanted to do. And yeah, I wouldn't have done it had it not been for those two people, because I guess I didn't realize that we were all annoyed. And as soon as I knew that we were all feeling annoyed, it gave me the confidence to, I opened my backpack and I took out $30 and I gave it to the girls in front of me. I said, hey, here's 30 bucks. I got two sandwiches and a water. You can give this to her. And if it's not enough, she can come find me. And if it is, if it's more than enough, then you guys can just tip her or use the excess for your guys' stuff. Boom. Boom. I've always dreamt of doing that. Every time I'm stuck in a line, I always think, if I was Bezos, every time I'm in a line, I would just go, here's four, like I'm talking a line in like a convenience store. I would go, here's $200 and let's just all go. Instead of waiting for to ring up every single item here for each person to do their transaction, you know what? Here's $400. Here's $500. Just boom. Let's just let it all go. It's more than enough to cover it. So anyway, that was my dream and it came true. I was able to just go, here's money, I'm going to go. And it felt euphoric. It felt like somebody put heroin into, oh my God, into a bathtub. And then I swam in it. It was awesome. Again, I wasn't doing it to try and be a dick. And I purposely took out, I think, a lot more than it was going to cost. I mean, it is an airport, so it's two sandwiches and a water. Easily could be 30. But I built in a buffer. You know, it's a dick move if you throw 10 bucks and you're like, here, I just, like I said, I would rather pay extra money. I'll give $10 extra just to save my time. Just so I don't have to wait here for someone. Boom. Make it rain and get out of there. And I don't know. No one ever came and found me. So I learned that that's an acceptable method for handling your impatience. I feel like it, I think the real moral, the lesson here is I need to get more patient. Fine. And you're probably right. I actually think I should have probably just waited, because our flight also got delayed by another 2 hours anyway. So ironically, after all that, our flight, I ended up just eating the sandwiches, standing up, and then waiting for another 2.5 hours for the flight. So there's no real moral of the story here other than airport sandwiches are disgusting. It was two of the worst sandwiches I've ever had in my life, and I'm no sandwich snob. I could barely get through. Ugh. It was like that dry bread. I don't even think it had a condiment on it. And while I was eating it, there was a guy laying... If you look at my story, you'll see there was a guy, and I loved it, dude. He's just laying on the ground in the gate. I love it. I absolutely just, but not near like, it's not like he went near the window and laid down. It's not like he was near, he was in the middle of just the boonies, no man's land, where everyone is standing, and he's just laying down. I want to look at this just real quick, because I can't remember if he was using his hoodie as a blanket or what, but it was just, oh my God. Okay. So I'm looking at this right now. Yeah. Oh, he has a blanket. He's laying on his back. He's actually sleeping. He's using his luggage and his jacket as the pillow. I love it. And then he's using his hoodie as a blanket. And he's got a Gatorade in between his legs at the bottom. What an absolute hero. And you know what's so funny? Airport is the one place you can do that. Airport is one of the only places that you can just impromptu lay on the ground and have a nap. And people are like, that's fine. That's fine. He's probably tired. He probably had a really shitty ham sandwich after throwing money at a till, and now he's tired. Oh, well, though, truth be told, he'd probably been in there for 2.5 hours from, you know, delays and stuff. But is there anything more frustrating than that? You know, you really see people lose their mind. Because, I was thinking about it today, and I think what it is the lack of control that we have in those situations. It's this perfect mix of frustration with nothing you can do about it. You know, there's situations where obviously it's annoying, but there's a solution, or fine, this cost me more time, but I can go do, no, not the air. The airport is the place. The airport is the place where people's stress threshold is revealed. Because things, yeah. Wow. Isn't that beautiful? I don't know. I don't even know where else I'm going with that. But anyway, so yeah, it was a big weekend, big trip, and wet as fuck. Everything, that snow was wet everywhere I walked around. And I was in the, I stayed near the Eaton Center, which is one of the busiest malls I've ever seen in my life. Like, I've been to Wested Mall, home of the Dolphins, home of the fact that they were actually able to have dolphins inside of a mall just shows how wild the 90s were, right? You can barely even swear on TV nowadays, and they were able to have dolphins inside of a, right? They were able to basically go, what do dolphins like? I don't know. Orange Julius? Is that their natural habitat? Being across from a shoe store? Is that good for them? Probably. And the 90s don't give a shit. We're just like, yeah, they're probably happy. I don't know. They look happy. They're doing flips. They look great. That stuff is so funny when you look back. Like that, what was that documentary that exposed SeaWorld Blackfin or whatever? Which was terrifying. And it sort of canceled SeaWorld. But when you look back, it's kind of funny that we even needed a documentary to tell us, like, oh, yeah, whales and stuff don't want to be trapped in a aquarium all day. You know, they're not too fond of just being having to work a fucking job. It turns out they're a lot happier when they just get to be in the ocean and do whatever the hell they want. Isn't that... God. Could you imagine? Actually, you know, I have a joke about this, but if you were a whale at SeaWorld, like you were born in there, so you just think like, you just think that's a whale's life. You think part of being a whale is waking up, doing practice, fine. And then like a starfish shows up one day and tells you about the ocean. You'd be like, what the, what? And he's like, yeah, dude, there's like a bunch of you and they're like, they're in the ocean. And you're like, what is the ocean? And he's like, oh, dude, it's like, it's water like this, but like way bigger. And you're like three times the size. He's like, oh my God. No, dude, it's like probably, I mean, I'm a starfish. So I'm not great with math, but I would say like at least 100 times the size. And they don't have to work all day. You know what they do is they go up and they get air and then they swim underneath and they groan to each other. And you're like, that's all they have to do. That's all they have to do. And you're like, but who gives them their fish? How do you, don't you have to do flips and stuff to, in order to get fish? And he goes, that's the best part. You don't, they swim around in schools and then you just bite and you get as many as you want. You'd be like, oh my God. Well, I quit. I quit. I'm going to do two more shows, get my whale pension, and then get me out of here. Like, that's what they should do. Let them have them do shows for a year and then let them be a free agent back into the ocean. And who knows, maybe they can then go teach the wild whales what they learned. And then we have an ocean full of just happy whales doing the tricks that we're paying to see. Isn't that a win-win for everyone? These whales, then they get to do the tricks, but also then basically, it's basically work from home. It's basically work from home for whales. We let them do the show, do the trick, but they also get to be in the ocean. Come on. I think we just solved world hunger right there. And that's why I'm running for prime minister, because that would be my whole platform. My whole platform would be the whales are back in the ocean. There's no more stop signs. Stop signs are all yields because stop signs are stupid. There's no reason. I think I've said this before. There's no reason for a stop sign. That stop sign means we don't trust you to use your judgment here. It should just be a yield. Yield. Slow down. If there's someone there, hey, slow down here. And if you're going to hit someone, then don't hit them. That's what the sign should say. And it should say that entire sentence, literally the entire sentence. Stop. I got to come to a complete stop. Even when there's no one there, that's how they get you, right? That's how the government gets you. That's exactly what they want. That's what they want, to keep us in the matrix. And that's why everyone's glitching out about these airplanes that aren't moving, baby, if you've seen that. Oh, anyway, that's it. Thank you for letting me unleash the event about my first world travel issues over this weekend. But it was worth it. it was still a fun time. And who knows? I'm going to go out there today. I'm going to go to the store right now. And if there's a line, I might try to make it rain again. Make it hail, make it rain, and get out of there. I'm making it rain $30 at a time. It's like the lowest, the most budget baller of all time. $20 to $30 at a time. That's how I make it. That's how I rain on that Safeway, baby. All right. You guys have been awesome. Thank you. What does that mean? You guys have been awesome? Okay. I still have the stage mentality in my head right now. Thank you guys. You guys have been awesome. Love it. Thanks again for tuning in. I am in Ottawa this weekend. Ottawa, March 10th and 11th. So if you have any friends there, let them know. Let them know to come out. There's two clubs. I'm going back and forth between both. I'm doing four shows. I'll post about it this week, and I hope to see you there. Again, thank you to everyone who came out to the shows this past weekend, and all of y'all for listening right now. I hope you have a fantastic Monday and week. Go live your truth and make it rain on someone while you eat a dusty old sandwich. There you go. God bless your little souls.